Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this beautiful Monday. Hour number two already, and we're going to the phones right now. So I'm pleased to bring on somebody who's been on the show many times, Todd Stacey. He is the he's a guy who's been around state politics for years, but he is currently the publisher of the Alabama Daily News, as well as the host for Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television. I want to get his thoughts on the legislative session and help us as we cook up the last batch of home fries here for the day. Todd Stacey, how are you doing? Oh, did we lose him? Todd Stacey, you there? Oh, my gosh. Todd, you there? All right, Big Rick, see if you can get him back on, man. Just go ahead and clear the line and call him back. Technology, you got to love it. But listen, we're going to talk to Todd about this gambling bill, and we're going to talk to him about another piece of legislation that that I look at and I'm fascinated by. Because this was like when I was in the Senate, workforce development and economic development were two of my pet things. And I even chaired the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. I had my friend Clay Schofield in studio two weeks ago, and we talked about economic development and the hows and the whys and what was important. Well, just at the end of last week, seven bills were patched through or were put through and dropped into the legislative process that are designed completely to take workforce development to new levels. And the truth is, I have to look at it and go, okay, y'all, this is a priority. I mean, we're looking at the Lieutenant Governor's package with seven bills, and you're halfway through the session, and you just dropped it in. Why would that be? Well, I can't answer that. And if we can get Todd back on the phone, that would be great. Maybe we can find out from him what he thinks about it. But the reality is, 2 months after Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth revealed that lawmakers were hard at work on a transformative workforce development package, he and Governor Ivey and other legislative leaders unveiled seven bills this Thursday. Y'all, this is – I'm frustrated with this. Because I look at it and go, listen, you just said it was a priority. Did you wait for a reason? I don't know. But they include things like child care, housing tax credit programs. You got an initiative that allows for cities and counties to offer new economic incentives. You got a restructuring of the whole state labor department. I mean, this is no small thing. Seven separate bills as a package. It says Alabama's unemployment rate remains at a healthy 2.9%. The state's labor participation rate, though, sits at 57%. We're one of the worst in the nation. So we got a great unemployment rate at 2.9%. But our state labor participation rate just flat sucks. There's no other way to describe it. We're one of the lowest in the country on unemployment, but unfortunately, we're one of the highest related to labor force participation. You got it back on? Let's go ahead and bring him right on right now. Todd Stacey, we appear to have our technical difficulties resolved. Brother, how you doing?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry about that, and thank you very much for hanging on with us.
No problem.
Hey, listen, let me ask you. I was just kind of opining here. You guys ran a story at Alabama Daily News. Came out, I think, over the weekend or maybe Friday. And you've got Governor Ivey, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, leaders in the legislature dropping in a seven-bill package for workforce development. And yet, I got to find, I can't find reasons why they waited so long to do it. If it's a priority, why are we halfway through the session at spring break and now they're dropping it in? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty simple answer. They just weren't ready to go yet. This is all a result. This comes out of the Lieutenant Governor's commission, right? He had this commission that worked for a couple of years, really, to come up with policy solutions that will help improve Alabama's workforce participation rate, right? We've got a really low unemployment rate, but we've also got a really low percentage of people that are actually looking for jobs or in jobs. It's 57.4%. So if you think about it the other way, that's almost 43% of able-bodied workers that aren't participating in the workforce. That's a problem economically,
yeah,
for Alabama. So they've been working on, you know, that commission was really, had a really substantive report. I was actually impressed because sometimes you get these committees and commissions and it's kind of not very taken very seriously, but they had some smart folks working on it, making recommendations. So that dropped in February. And so, you know, it just takes some time to put those recommendations into legislative language and getting everybody on the same page. I encourage folks to watch. We obviously reported on that package of bills, but I sat down with Greg Reed, the president pro tem of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, and asked him, you know, these kind of questions, like, what's the timing mean here? Is there enough time to pass it? So I think it just took him a while to turn those recommendations from the report into legislation. Plus, you're talking about getting a lot of people on the same page policy-wise between the State House and the Capitol. And maybe the biggest thing is you're talking about the biggest restructuring of government in Alabama, probably since that Aaliyah restructuring.
I was there for that one, yeah.
Right. And this could be even bigger because you're talking about combining, you know, labor, commerce. We have multiple job training platforms and there's too much duplication involved. So to get all those people in the same room, on the same page, takes a while. But I think they also were purposeful with this because the first half of session just had so many controversial issues.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be controversial really at all. It's bipartisan. It'll be, you know, kind of like the game plan. It'll pass probably overwhelmingly. So I think that was by design to kind of turn the page and say, let's find something we can all agree on.
Well, okay. So you're thinking then that A, they are actually committed to it, and B, they may have held the timing in part because they wanted to get you know, all the oxygen out of the room was being all sucked out of the room by the gambling bill and other things. And now that the oxygen is returning to the room, they can actually work on something else, is what you're saying.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's right. Plus just the time it takes to get all the bills together. But yeah, I expect this to start moving really next week. You know, some of the bills are interesting because they're addressing long-standing problems. You mentioned the child care thing.
Yeah.
You know, all that is an incentive for businesses to, you know, a tax credit for them to say, all right, if you are able to offer child care, whether it's there in your facility or another facility, you know, we'll give you the tax credits to make that, and you know, to incentivize that. Child care is a huge problem, just a workforce problem. I'm not a parent, but all of my friends who are parents, I mean, they talk about the cost of, and it can be a barrier to somebody. You know, if you're spending $20,000 a year on child care, well, you know, if the job only pays 30, what's the real incentive there? So,
well, and I had former Senator Majority Leader Clay Schofield on now with the BCA just a couple of weeks ago. And he said that was probably one of the most attractive pieces of the overall package that at the time was just a proposed package. But he said that child care credit was going to be one of the biggest things they were pushing for.
Yeah, and it actually, they had similar legislation last year, but it was so late in the session and it just couldn't get enough support later on to pass. But then again, you know, the workforce issue has really come into specific relief over that last year. It's just kind of, you know, been lingering out there. So, yeah, I expect them to focus a lot on this. And again, I don't think it'll be controversial. And I think the House and Senate would love to talk about something that is all positive and not generating hours of debate.
Well, you know, and it brings up a point too, not to belabor it too much, because I don't want to use up the rest of our time on this, but I do, it does occur to me that I could see where they might actually hold these bills for a bit, because that way they couldn't be held hostage by somebody who was mad about the divisive concepts bill or the gaming bill or something else. So maybe they were avoiding having this bill get conflicted out as opposed to getting it.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. It's a lot easier to work together when you're not fighting on the other side. So I think that's right. The more you can isolate it and not have it impact gambling or all the other controversial stuff. That's a good point.
Okay, so gambling. All right, this thing has morphed and transmorphed and gone into, you know, new life. Then it was dead. Then it was resurrected. Now it's Frankenstein. But we have this omnibus gambling bill that we've talked about on my show many times that passed the House like there was nothing else in the world more important than passing that bill. And then, bam, it went upstairs and just began to go into this lingering death by a thousand cuts. And the Senate passed an entirely different version. And we're being told that it's still sitting in the speaker's basket, like it's not even been taken out for action at this point. What are your thoughts? Is the gambling bill dead? Are they going to resurrect it? What's going to happen?
Well, that's kind of the question. I think there's plenty of intent out there in the House to do something, but they're kind of limited in their options because just the legislative math upstairs in the Senate is just different than it was 4 years ago. But, you know, because senators have, you know, changed hands, they've replaced them, and so basically, what the Senate is communicating behind the scenes to the House is: look, what we passed, that scaled down version, and taking out sports betting, taking out a lot of what the House had put in there, that's the most this Senate is going to pass. We can't. If you add anything on top of that, we're not going to have the votes to pass it.
Yeah.
So, you know, House members aren't taking that so well because it's like, look, we're supposed to be a co-equal chamber here, and you're kind of putting them in a jam. So that's kind of the question: is, you know, do they take the bill and concur with what the Senate passed and just say, okay, let's send it to the governor, send it to the ballot? I kind of doubt it because there are some changes they want to make. But if they don't, if they go to conference committee and try to change the bill, you know, what can they put in there that's not going to cost them a vote in the Senate? So those are just really difficult questions that they're going to have to figure out. But if they can't figure it out, then yeah, the legislation is dead.
Well, and I can't help but think too, man, that this, I look at this and go, I mean, you know how the system works. You've been down there as much as I have, but this thing is, it's obvious that the House and Senate leadership, they may have talked to each other, but they didn't talk to their members en masse. And for this thing to be so widely disparate in its, you know, outcomes, clearly indicates that the groundwork had not been done to sort of lay the foundation before they even got to the votes. It was apparent.
I think that's true. I mean, I don't know who was working on the Senate in terms of where are the votes, but I mean, they really weren't there. It's kind of amazing that they got to 21 on what passed.
Yeah.
But, and I was making this point because I get asked this all the time, you know, well, the Senate passed a comprehensive gambling bill back in 2021. You know, they had plenty of votes back then. Why don't they have them now? And the answer is we've had an election and Senate seats have changed hands. I'll go through just a few of them. You know, you had Del Marsh from there at Anniston. Yeah, he was a yes. He was obviously, you know, kind of the champion of it. Well, he's been replaced by Keith Kelly, who's a no vote now.
Yeah.
You had Jimmy Hawley, senator down from the Wiregrass. He was a yes vote. Well, he's been replaced by Josh Connolly, who's a no. You know, Cam Ward to April Weaver. And I think there might be a couple. So when those votes change hands or change, it really complicates the math and makes it tough for them to get to that 21 votes they need to pass this package.
All right, well, let me ask you this, and I'm going to switch gears on you because our phone snafu left me with only a limited amount of time here. So you also have, besides the fact that you do Alabama Daily News, which is a great news site, and Capital Journal, which is, you know, sort of the presentation of interviews related to our Capitol on Alabama Public Television, you've also got this little thing that you tack on called Inside Alabama Politics. So what do you know that we don't know? Because where all the rumors are usually in the IAP section. What's going on in Montgomery with about a minute left that you can tell us?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we break down for the true insiders what's going on. And I've kind of, on the gambling issue especially, I've kind of communicated my thoughts on that in terms of what I put on Inside Alabama Politics, just about, look, the math really gets difficult, and you've got to remember that it's a completely different Senate than it was. But also in Inside Alabama Politics, we talk about what's the next half of the session look like. We've talked about workforce, talked about gambling. You're going to see some tort reform movement.
Oh.
That's kind of coming out of nowhere, but that's a big issue that you can look forward to, and also some education deals. And plus, they still haven't really even started on the budgets, and that's really their main job. So, yes, the first half of session was action-packed and really busy, but it's not going to slow down too much. Lots of work left to be done in 13 days.
Yeah, it's 13 legislative days. It'll fly by. All right, true. Todd Stacey, I appreciate you, man. If folks want to find out more about your stuff, where can they find you?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. You're going to want to sign up for that really helpful morning newsletter. And yes, Capital Journal. It's legislative spring break, but we're going to be on the air at 7:30 Friday night and Sunday at noon.
All right, man. You have a great day. We will talk to you soon.
All right, Phil. Be good.
Take care. It's Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News. All right, listen, Big Reg, take it to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. And don't forget, bottom of the hour after the next break, we will have some time with Mark Oliva from the National Shooting Sports Foundation talking about our Second Amendment rights. Live free or die. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.